again, my brothers and my sisters in Christ Jesus, my friends and my family from around the world. And what an amazing, wonderful world it is, in spite of all of the bad things that go on at the same time, in a world that there's a lot of people that don't necessarily have the best interest of their fellow man at heart, nor the kingdom of God and his rule and his reign. Nonetheless, it's all good in Christ Jesus. All things continue to grow as God would have them to grow. They continue to do that which God would have them to do. Even the wicked that are made for the day of destruction. And oh yes, destruction is there for them as well. So, you know, I know sometimes it gets a little frustrating when you see some of the things that go on in this world. Maddening injustice sometimes, for those of you that are justice people and are truth people, basically kingdom people, because kingdom people, they love truth, they love real justice, not this corrupt, worldly kind. Yeah, you know, it's hard to see, to look at a world that is doing what it's doing. The hypocrisy is incredible. You know, for the people that call for certain things, call for certain standards, call for, and at the same time, they themselves are liars, cheaters, manipulators, users, and they themselves are guilty of far more than they require or ask of other people. You know, one thing about leadership, and this is something that, you know, I've seen it even in the life of Christ, which is the ultimate example, the ultimate leader. True leaders, they set the standard by, they do it themselves first. So, you know, do not ask somebody to do something that you yourself are not willing to do, or were not willing to do, or would not have put yourself in or through. You know, you can't, you should not, I should say. Like, if you are, if you're not willing to do certain roles and certain tasks and certain functions, if you're not willing to clean the bathroom, for example, and you don't have a heart that's willing to do that, but then you expect somebody else to, well, there's a disconnect between what you ask other people to do and what you are willing to do yourself. I'm just talking about good leaders now. There's junky leaders everywhere, so that's not what I refer to here. You know, I remember this good friend of mine. Well, good friend of the family's. It's just, you know, it's one of those people that just is a kingdom person that you just touches your life. And I met some friends over these last few days who we all, as kids, we'd run into. But Jackie Pullinger, and some people know the name, some people don't. But she's an amazing woman of God that started just powerful work led by His Spirit in Hong Kong. Really, the time that, you know, I encountered it was in the 80s, but as a very small kid. But I remember, you know, during that time, you know, there's people would show up from, I mean, you know, the people would come from around the world, good and bad, to the project that she had going. And these missionaries would come from their churches with their sponsorships and all of this stuff. And they would show up to where Jackie was, and, you know, with this intention of coming to save Hong Kong. And, you know, one of the first things that she would do with a lot of these guys when they would show up is she would put them on cleaning the bathrooms for a few weeks. And now, for the ones that had a good heart, and for the ones that were, you know, there to serve, and now these, I remember these bathrooms when I was a little guy. They're huge. I mean, they're big community bathrooms for a very large amount of people that would be using that area in these camps in what was called Hank Phuc Camp inside of Hong Kong. These guys would show up and she'd put them on the bathroom duty. And that's all they would do. So they wouldn't be preaching and teaching and doing all... I mean, this is from what I remember. I was just a kid. But for the ones that had an ego, for the ones that had a salvation complex to go out and save the world and do all these other things, they didn't last very long doing that. But for the people that had been broken by Christ, that basically just, you know, were happy to be a part of whatever it was that he was doing, they didn't have an issue, and they were happy to serve wherever it was that God had them. And wherever it was that in that stage in the leadership position that she was in, wherever it is that she would put them. So, a lot of people have, very big egos that need to be filled. And, you know, actually, really, unless God has dealt with you on this line, unless God has worked with you on this line, all people, that's what will grow if you feed yourself in the world and part of the world system. If you become part of that, that's what grows in you, is that self-love, that self-man, that deceptive spirit. You can cultivate that world or spirit inside of a person when they go that way. It gets very ugly, especially as they continue to grow, especially as they continue to get older. Spare the rod and spoil the child. You know, if you spare that rod and that rod of correction, which, for those of you that follow Christ, you know that God, when he chastens those that he loves and those that he considers a son. So, when you follow him, oh yes, as I like to say, he puts the smack down on you when you step out of line. When you, and he does that because he loves you. He does that to me because he loves me. And as I've gotten further along, even though I may not necessarily like or enjoy the chastening of the Lord, I do definitely thank him for it. When I come to the other side in particular, sometimes even in the middle of it. But I thank him for it we thank him for it. Why? Because we realize that the testing of our faith, what it really does, and we realize also what the chastening of the Lord does in our hearts, in our souls, in our spirits, that he is conforming us to the image and the likeness of Christ Jesus. You know, I saw, while I was in recently in Italy, and I had a chance to see the last... Come on, Doc. Sorry. Then there was a dog who just wanted to test his lifespan right there. He's fine. Okay. I saw while I was in Italy the last known work of Michelangelo, not unfinished. I forget the name right now, it's in this castle in Milan, and basically it's. I really, really appreciated seeing it because, I mean, it's a picture it's a sculpture in stone of what would have been Michelangelo's impression of who Jesus was being held up after he'd been on the cross by Mary. And you know what was so interesting for me is, you know, so often what you see with all of these amazing works of art and artists is those finished works, but then to see something that was in process, to see something where he was, the sculptor was chipping away. You know, I remember, you know, somebody else had asked him about another work of his. I think it might have been when he did David, the sculpture that was David. And you know, how did you carve such a beautiful sculpture, such an amazing sculpture? And what he said in response to that was, the sculpture was always there. I just removed the pieces that were surrounding it. And to see, you know, a sculpture then that was, you know, something that was a work in progress, that was that, it was quite incredible for me, you know, because you could see a little bit of how he worked and what he was doing and what that process was, an unfinished work, you know. And so often what happens with, you know, with God's people and some of the people and some of the things that God does, we see glimpses of his finished work in the lives of others, but we don't necessarily see all of the chipping away that has taken place in their lives to bring it to that point. And you know, when you realize, you know, I mean, see, people, we live in a day and age where people don't, you know, my dad was mentioning this to me, you know, how, you know, it seems like so much of the world has just become perpetual tourists. You know, people don't create like they used to. You know, back then, you know, in some of the times of when these guys were artists and sculptors, I mean, this was their life, and they would create amazing works. And this, and nowadays people just kind of go around and look at them, but they don't have maybe the patience and the stick-to-itiveness to produce like that, to make things like that, to do works like that, the depth of character, to be a struggling artist. A lot of commercial artists out there these days, but to be a struggling artist, to really produce those just amazing works. Now, Jesus is the potter. We are the clay. He is the master builder. He is the sculptor. He is, it talks about building your house on with him as a cornerstone. So yes, there's more than enough indications and admonitions for God's people to make the right decisions, to go his way. And in that going process, when it gets difficult, and when that process is actually also the refining process that we must go through, to stay the course, to overcome, to go through the... I tell you what, I just got back. Greetings from Sri Lanka. I am back in the lovely island that we all love so much and so well. But I was in Italy, and you know, to see a country full of artisans, full of people that had incredible artistic, today have incredible artistic talent and skill and ability, and to see that that process that they do and that they work on and that they learn in that trade, it's just beautiful. It's just beautiful to see what people do and how they create, and the metaphors that God uses for us, for His people, because we are His workmanship. We are the work of His hands. And God knows what He's doing with us. And how often people don't want to go that way because, oh man, how many of the different, I mean, I went on this one island that they make glass. And the kind of glass works that they do are incredible. And but these places that make glass, well, there's a lot of heat involved. It's a toil. These guys are sweating in there to put this whole thing together. And it is not comfortable for that glass sculpture. With the silversmith, with these guys that work on the gold and the different types of jewelry. When you see what they go through and what they put these works through to create them, incredible. And and now, you know, at this stage where we are, I know it's going to get hot. Things are going to get much more heated around the world. And as they do, you got to realize that you are in part of God's firing process. God's heating and cooling, and, you know, He... like He says, He's not going to allow you to be tempted beyond that which you can withstand. He's not going to allow you to be tested beyond what you can bear. And so if you're in a situation, realize that if you continue to hold to Him, that you can overcome, that you can come through, that you can make it. But it's not going to be comfortable, nor is it going to be easy as such. But He will take you through. And you can't let this stuff get you down. You can't let this stuff take a place in your mind and in your spirit and in your heart and in your soul that it shouldn't have. Yes, we face trials and tribulations of all kinds. And we do know that the testing of our faith and all the stuff that the scriptures say that it does, and why the way we should approach it and see it. But at the same time, it's, you know, there's that humanity side of us that struggles with what we have to go through. Now, for me, you know, there are times where I get to the point, I'm like, God, I can't take anymore. I can't handle anymore. But I do that on my face before Him, because I bring it to that point and then follow it up with that statement, nevertheless, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. Lord, take me through. I don't want to go out. I don't want to be pulled out. I want to go through. I want to finish the race that you've called me to. I want to... You know how often in sports where... You know, I did a few. And... in sports, how so often on those levels when you compete, I mean, it doesn't matter how fit you get. You're always testing your body to a level that it's never gone before. And it's difficult and it's painful. And as you go through that process and that test, I mean, the conditioning and all those things that people train themselves to do just to get a little bit faster, you know, a couple seconds faster here, a tenth of a second faster there. But towards even the ends of those competitions, and as they're duking it out, or as they're competing it out, and you're tired and your body is screaming and there's lactic acid building up and all of these things towards the end of even a competition, but you got to make it through. You got to make it to the end. If you quit before you get there, if you quit before you maximize that season that you've gone into, that race that you're in, when you get to the other side, you know it. You know, I think back, you know, probably to some of my earlier races in the swimming days. You know, when you know you're in a race and you just didn't want to be there, and I guess I always fought it out. That's kind of my nature. But I know there were times where things went a lot better. It's just one of those processes where, you know, we're in this thing right now. You know, this is it. You have one life. You have one life to live. You have one chance at this. And God, He promised you, if you would look to Him, if you'd seek Him, you'll find Him. If you knock, the door will be open. If you ask, you receive. If you go after this thing with everything that you are, you know, He's going to take you through. So yeah, I'm twisting and turning through these Sri Lanka streets right now. Oh, by the way, I know, I gotta catch you guys up. So I think I got in very, very late last night. Flights got delayed, so I got in probably a little after 1, probably got back to my place around 3 a.m. And first meeting this morning is scheduled for 7:30. Now I know, now all this stuff is waiting for me, so I'm on the way to that. And so maybe if I do sound a little bit disoriented, and also in the middle of this trying to figure out directions. So, yes, and in the middle of this too, we can talk about the things of God and our life and our walk and our relationship in Him. So, because why not? What else is there to talk about? You know, I look at so many things and I'm like, there really isn't that much worth investing your life in and worth talking about, worth looking at. I mean, I sometimes talk to some of these worlders and, you know, I let them talk and some of it's amusing and, you know, but do I want to spend a lot of time on the priorities that they have? No, not really. Do I want to spend a lot of time, am I agonizing over the things that they agonize over and are perplexed over? No, not really. No, not really. For me, the things that motivate me, the things that excite me, if you will, the things that really, really fascinate me are things of God. The things of God are the things that, for me, it's like, um, the things that, you know, that excite me are the things of God, the things that are where He's, where's He moving, where's He involved, where is, what are the things that are important to Him? Because if you invest your life in the things of this world, they really are, there's nothing to them. You know, I look at so many of the things that are going on right now, and you know what people put priorities on, and I look at the stuff that people invest their life in, and you know, within this window that we have, why would you want to waste it? Because it's a short window. You know, it's a short window of time that that people are here. You know, we talked, I guess, recently about that little exercise you can do of numbering your days. And when you realize how short and how few they really are, numbering your, like, how many hours of life you have while you're here. If you realize how few hours you're here, I guess if you don't spend much time sleeping, like today, maybe get a little bit more. But I hope that's not burning the candle at both ends. Yeah, but it's short. Life is short. Life is brief. And in this window of time, because look, that creation then lasts for all eternity. The sculptors, you know, you take these sculptures that were made in even in the natural, and you know, these works of art, they didn't, as they built them and as they put them together, they're done now. They exist. And they exist for, I mean, since the time that so many of these ones were created, for much, much longer than the time that it took to make them. And we go on into eternity and eternal beings. And as eternal beings, that which is in you. See, the real you is that spirit, that soul that God is cultivating and crafting and making to be what He wants it to be. The real you is that which is within. And so that's why too, when people, you know, they seek to nip and to tuck the external and to patch meal it together and to have it look a certain way, and you know, I mean, your body's like the car that you were driving in while you're here. You know, yeah, you should take some care of it because you need it for the duration of your time in the earth. But also realize that it's for a limited window, and that you are not your flesh, and your flesh is not you. Yet the real you is the spirit and the soul, which carry on. And that's why the people that spend all of their life working on that flesh and worshiping the flesh and serving the flesh, then when they hit that spot where that doesn't work anymore, oh gosh, I you know, some of these rock stars, I saw a I don't even want to talk about some of these things, but basically some of these people that just, you know, look, grandma, put it away, but you know, they can't ever unplug from trying to do this whole, sexy whatever. You know, somebody, I watched, I was just in some store, I was looking at something, and there was a music video with something from Madonna, who's a name that's been around since I can remember, but no, she's not gonna. It's just kind of sad. You know, to just see, you know, what she's having to do right now just to try to keep some notoriety and just to try to keep her name in the limelight in some way, shape, or form. You know, these people, they don't, there is no graceful exit for them. So, yeah, better watch out, because, you know, a lot of these celebrities, they are worth a lot more in their exit, depending on how they're taken out. And, boy, the world system is vicious. It is quite, quite cold. And, you know, people, they strive to climb that ladder and to get up there. And then once they get up there, the higher they go, the more they realize how many people are waiting to cut them under. And, you know, there's nothing good in that system. In that system is all the blood of the prophets and the saints. In that system has been the destruction and the shielding of truth, and pushing the truth away from those that would seek it. In that system and in the world system has been many, many bad things, but, you know, it does exist for a reason. And this is something I'm as time's going on, I'm learning more and more. You know, we would not, for us, you know, we would not be, we, it's a challenge for us. It is a worthy firing process for us to have to deal with it. In order for us to become what God made us to be, when we have the challenge in the natural, in the level of our souls and level of the spirit, and when we overcome, that is the process necessary for us to really become what God intended us to be. You know, I keep thinking back to these works of art that I would see, and just the different ways that the artists would work to create those things. You know, and it had different phases, and it had different levels that these things were done with. I mean, you know, we face challenges on the levels of our flesh. We face challenges on the levels of our souls. Your minds are bombarded. Your minds are attacked all the time. And the world system is continuing to refine the ways that it does attack your mind so that it can try to control the being that you are, to get your free will to choose that system over the Spirit of God, over the direction of Christ. And your spirits, gosh, your spirits do get attacked. You know, I look at this stuff and how, I mean, you wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities, spiritual wickedness in high places. You wrestle against a very powerful foe. And, you know, what's interesting for us too is that, you know, now all authority on heaven and on earth was given unto Christ Jesus. And in Him we live and move and have our being. And so that, you know, that authority is there, that power is there to do that which God has for us to do. And yet, you know, the struggle that we face, the challenge that we face in this process, because you know, because, you know, if that power's there, I know sometimes that question goes through our minds is, okay, if that power's there, then why is it not coming to bear on these situations? And, you know, this is part of our own growth and development. This is part of our own process. This is part of our own appreciation as well, our own gratitude to the Spirit of God for what it is that He brings us to and through, and what it is that we have in Him. You know, I think about how many people. Just gratitude. You know, how many people, when you realize, you know, I think back a little bit to my experience in Haiti. You know, because last year was quite a year, and altogether, I think it did about 5 months in Haiti during last year. In that assignment that God had for us during that time. And those audios are up and out there, so if you ever want to go back and check those, you can. For right now, while we still have access and while we still are able to keep these things up and keep this site going. But, you know, when I went into Haiti, and the kind of way that you know, that I approached that situation and where I was at, and after being there for several months, you know, particularly towards the close of my first round there, how nice it was just to have a good meal, or just how much you appreciated just sleeping in a real bed, or having a hot shower. You know, these were things that, you know, didn't happen for months in the midst of the work that we were doing there. And, you know, what was once, you know, one point in time expectation, when it was removed, and then subsequently when it was restored, there was gratitude and appreciation, I think, among so many people, you know, that I worked with, myself included, when you had access now to things that, you know, were before considered a right, considered an expectation. And subsequently, you realize that these are, you know, these two are really something that you don't have a right to. You know, even the very breath in our lungs is on loan from God. And whatever situations that you might be going through in your life, however difficult things might be or might seem, when you realize that this whole thing is a gift, all of it, even the difficult stuff, and even the difficulties, if you go through them the right way, they will show you and reveal to you so much of what you have to be grateful for. I mean, for me, even this morning, I am so grateful for the fact that I have a body that works, I have a mind that works, my eyes work, my being functions, and I get the chance to get up and have something right away that is to work on, to do, that is both fulfilling and satisfying and part of God's plan for where He has for me to be right now. And in the midst of whatever challenges that I may be facing in my life, on whatever levels they may be, I am so grateful that He's with me, and that He's leading me, and that He's guiding me. And He's with you, and He's leading you, and He's guiding you. Thank Him When was the last time that you thanked God? When was the last time that you thanked God for breath? The breath that's in your lungs. The life that you have a chance to live this day. You know, I mean, I know that we can get caught up with so much of the things going on around us. And, you know, God does have us in this world and not of this world. And He does have us here, and He does have us involved. But don't allow it to distract you. Don't allow it to become a distraction. Set your heart on things above. Set your mind on things above. Set every aspect of your being on Him. And once that is in there and that's in place, the rest of these pieces will they'll be what they are. Do diligence to what you can. Do what you can when you can. And trust Him. But you don't have to worry. You don't have to stress. You don't have to be perplexed. You don't have to allow life to become something that God didn't intend it to be. You know, you were made for more. And you know that. That's why it kind of grates against you. Because you know that you were made for more. You know that God intended more for you. And because of that, you look for that. You expect it. But see, it happens on His terms. It doesn't happen when we're out of alignment with Him. His will be done, but as far as your participation in it, and as far as you actually having some satisfaction and some fulfillment in being part of it. Because you know everything that God wants to happen is going to happen. And in fact, even right now, in the time that we live in an amazing time where a lot of things are going to be happening, and a lot of people are going to be used to fulfill God's plan of purpose, but they're on the wrong side. And God will use them in their arrogance, even in their self-delusion and self-deception, even like Pharaoh. God will use them to accomplish His purpose, and He will be glorified. Even in their rebellion and their rejection of life and truth, God will be glorified even in and through that. So, you know, I know some of this stuff is a bit of a paradox, and if you try to look at it through natural eyes, you're going to probably make yourself crazy. But if you can shift into the realm of spirit and allow the Spirit of God to carry you through, to take you through, to show you what you need to see, well, it's all going to be just fine. So, hey, you know, I love you guys. I'm praying for you. Lord willing, we should be back into a little bit more of a groove in the near future. So keep on keeping on, and drop us an email, say hi. We always like to hear from you. So God bless you guys. All right. Hey, I'll catch up with you sometime soon. Talk to you later. Bye.